This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking, second-guessing every choice you make. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Beautiful spring day, beautiful spring week ahead. Get out and enjoy it before it turns summertime, I'll tell you that. French Quarter Fest, we're going to talk about the security measures that are going to be in place for that with Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the City of New Orleans next half hour. Right now, though, we're joined by Simone Malaz, our friend's Campaign Director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta, to talk about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. Good morning, Simone. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay. So yesterday I was talking to Keith Hinckley of Plaquemines Parish. He said it was a win that this happened. I'm guessing that you don't see this 90-day pause on work as a win at all, and I want you to have a chance to give us the other side of it.
It's really hard to believe that anybody would say delaying a critical restoration project as we approach another hurricane season is in any way a win. So we still stand firm, Tommy, that this is a critical solution to Louisiana's future that doesn't just have environmental implications, it has economic implications as well. And we say this over and over and over again, we do not have time to lose when we talk about Louisiana's future.
So I'm looking at the newspaper story here at NOLA.com that was written by, I always like to give credit, Mike Smith, and it quotes Gordon Dove as saying that things costing us a fortune right now, so we have to quickly suspend it for 90 days. He also said that $500 million's been spent so far and that it would cost, I think, $380 million had been set aside to help those affected by the project, including commercial fishers and buyouts for homeowners. He says that's not going to be nearly enough compensation, and he's worried about the prospects of lawsuits. So is this about, in your opinion, as far as you know about money? Let's talk about the money aspects of it. Is the money there to pay for it, or is this all about seeking more compensation for fishermen? Tell me your side of this.
Tommy, those are some really big numbers that you're throwing out there for sure. This project, also a reminder that we've been talking about the delay to this project for a year now, for 1 year. And the fact is that all of the money was in place when we broke ground and we began construction in 2023. And it is a big number in that there is a considerable amount set aside for construction. You also have to pay for land rights and insurance. But yes, that mitigation money was included as well. Over $375 million. And there was a very careful and considerate process that considered the impacts to what would happen if this project came online, what could happen, what may happen. And that money was set aside for that. There's also some important numbers when it thinks about how you monitor the project, and something that sounds really unsexy, but adaptive management means that when you put a project in place, what conditions have changed around you that you may need to adjust that project. Tommy, all of that was in place, the money, the permit, and we were already under construction before this began. I'd also like to point out that things cost a lot of money nowadays, lots of money. I think the New Orleans airport came in 100% over. Mm-hmm. The levee protection systems that we're putting in place are costing more and more and more. And we owe a cost share to that. We owe portions of that, even if the federal government comes in and pays for that. And what we're suggesting with this project in particular is protecting the protection, further protecting communities, and making that similar investment in the communities of coastal Louisiana.
So is this about, I'm trying to get a handle on this, Simone, is it about the project running over and the state wondering where the money's going to come to complete it? Or is it about additional money for compensation? What do you understand it to be?
It's really hard to find that answer, Tommy, because this has not been talked about publicly, because there have been no opportunities to discuss this except for the few forced opportunities that maybe some of the few legislators, et cetera, have allowed during their committee time. And so that is a huge problem in this process, is the transparency. For nearly a decade, 6 years on a permit alone, there were public conversations, there was transparency, there was information exchange, and we have not had that. So we can't get down to the real cause of the delay, except for that it seems that politics are winning over science.
All right, let me take a break. We come back. Keith Hinckley texted me a picture yesterday of a map with a blue dot over what appears to be water, but he said that's Spanish Pass, and that in the area of Spanish Pass, I don't want to misquote him here, but he said it's a marsh and ridge restoration. He drove his truck to where the blue dot is, and that he said that was accomplished with dredging. Tony Alford, who chairs the Governor's Advisory Commission on Coastal Affairs, said that, and I'm paraphrasing here, that they don't have time to wait 50 years to restore the coast, and that basically dredging is the answer, and I'm paraphrasing him here. Let's take a break. You can respond to all of that when we come back. We're talking about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. $500 million, as I understand it, has already been spent on it. There are concerns about the money, and I don't know if it's about the building costs or the state finding the money or about compensation for oyster people or people, fishermen, that will be displaced by it, that according to Gordon Dove. But we're trying to get to the bottom of it, and we'll address the engineering, the dredging part of it, and so forth when we come back. Right now, 821 traffic on WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Simone Malaz, campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta, talking about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. Looking at a story here, a post from the Coastal Protection Restoration Authority 2023. May of 2023, less than 2 years ago, then Governor John Bel Edwards saying we're standing on what was once open water, now nearly 2,000 acres of restored marsh and ridge. And it says, goes on to say, a Spanish Pass project restored over 6 miles of ridge west of Venice, built over 1,670 acres of marsh, nearly 11 million cubic yards of sediment, making it the largest marsh and ridge creation project by both acres built and volume dredge. So I guess, Simone, what the question is, can you make a comparison between what happened with Spanish Pass and the Barataria Basin Ridge and Marsh Creation Project to the Mid-Barataria Sediment Diversion? Gordon Dove's advocating a smaller version of that along with the land bridge that they mentioned. Your thoughts on his alternative plan or their alternative plan?
Yeah, I've been to that project.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Tommy, that is a great day when you can drive on a project. But the fact of the matter is that I hate that people put dredging against this diversion, because really we need all those solutions. But dredging problems don't address the root cause of the problem: sediment starvation, subsidence, lack of fresh water, sea level rise. It's a temporary solution. And the way we were thinking in coastal Louisiana was not just what could help us today or tomorrow, but what could help us in the future. We have this one-time opportunity with this tragic event with Deepwater Horizon, where we got this money to mitigate for the damage that was done to us, and we wanted to make investments in Louisiana's future. Dredging certainly accomplishes some of that, but it doesn't address the root cause, and costs for dredging go up as well. But I don't want to be anti-dredging. We need all of these solutions, and the fact of the matter is that we don't have time to waste trying to decide a solution that was already decided upon.
So Alford is saying, the governor's advisor is saying that we can't wait 50 years for the result of the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion to show fruit, that basically they got to start dredging now and do what's similar to what they did at Spanish Pass, and also this land bridge that they're talking about, and also kind of like scaling down the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. I don't know if half a loaf is better than none or half a loaf is useless. Thoughts?
So we have a couple of smaller diversion projects, which are freshwater diversion projects. They're not sediment diversion projects, so they do something different. We already have some of those on the landscape, and we know what impacts they're having on the basins. It's been a long while since we've studied a smaller diversion, over a decade, for parts of Plaquemines Parish entering into the basin. And the fact of the matter is, it's not going to take 50 years. We've seen places like Neptune Pass and other areas that have grown significantly when the time is right to capture that sediment in the river. And so the science says something else, what's happening, and our eyes see something else that's happening in coastal Louisiana on what we can do with the power of the river.
So bottom line, one, the governor's people say that you're wasting time with the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. You're saying we're wasting, losing time by delaying this for 90 days and then maybe coming up with a smaller version. Give me some final thoughts here, Simone.
Yeah, there's a very specific process on how we can spend that money here in coastal Louisiana. So any solutions are still years away. We still need the science, and there's still a process to follow there. So the most immediate answer is to continue to build Mid-Barataria as permitted, as funded, and as 10 years of science and public discussion led to.
And I'm going to be late here, but I don't care. So what happens from here? Is the governor, does he hold all the cards when it comes to this, or is there any legal action planned?
it sounds like they have given this 90-day window, and I guess the contractor has moved out some of their heavy equipment. There has been a lawsuit that is on the parish level that's filed, and some residents have asked to intervene in that case, and so some of that will happen within that 90-day period, as well as the Louisiana legislature considering the annual plan that has over $500 million for this project in that plan as what they want to do in the next year or so. And so that will move through the Louisiana legislature and I'm sure spur quite a bit of discussion.
Thank you, Simone. We'll talk to you again. Simone Malaz, campaign director for Restore the Mississippi River Delta. We'll talk to Colin Arnold about French Quarter and festival and security concerns when we come back a little bit late. Time now, WWL First News. 8:46, 14 till 9. A lot of people look forward to the French Quarter Festival every year. As a matter of fact, last year, I think it drew something like 950,000 people, and it gets bigger and bigger every year. Colin Arnold joins us now, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the City of New Orleans, to talk about some of the security measures that are in place and how or will be in place and how it could change your experience. Good morning, Colin. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Tell me, first of all, as it relates to the Bratton study, Bratton plan, is this part of that? Is this part of their recommendations, and we've not seen the complete version of that report yet?
To my understanding, no. The Bratton plan is more addressing the future of Bourbon Street as how it's going to be secured, the whole idea about a pedestrian mall and that type of thing. I will say that what we've seen since January 1st is these event organizers like French Quarter Fest have reached out to the Bratton Group separately and asked for their input on events, and that happened in this case. And we're very much appreciative of the special events actually leaning forward and kind of identifying where they think there may be some problems, particularly when we're looking at like vehicle and pedestrian conflict. And we're working with Jazz Fest right now too. So, you know, we start meeting with special events months in advance, sometimes before they even have their permits filed, just to talk about anything new they're planning to do for the year. And we know that the event organizers want some sort of assurance about, you know, having their event when they, you know, on the scheduled date, and if there are any big changes, that they want to be a part of it and know about it. And that's what we're really doing right now. So there's a lot of collaboration going on. And some changes were made to French Quarter Fest, but I don't think the public will notice them, you know, all that much.
All right, so I got my map open right now. Tell me what changes have been made.
Really, it's more upgrading. So we used to protect Royal Street, the stages that they set up on Royal Street, the smaller stages, with the metal, what we call bike rack barricades, those Mardi Gras-type barricades mm-hmm. we see along the parade route. Those will be upgraded to both
What do you call those, Colin? I've always
barricades.
Wondered what they're called. What are they called?
We call them bike racks.
Bike racks. Okay, go ahead.
Because they kind of end up being bike racks.
Well, I've always wondered about the terminology. I like to learn new things. They call them bike rack barriers, right?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
So they'll be upgraded to water barriers, which will be filled, and then also concrete barriers in certain locations, just to really limit the amount of potential for vehicle and pedestrian conflict. And so that'll be along Royal Street and then also along North Peters and Decatur, where we have those areas where there's lots of people coming in.
So I saw a story at NOLA.com. I always like to give the reporter credit, Sophie Kasakov, quoting Hans Gaudier, an assistant superintendent, is saying that it's going to be harder to drive around and that residents should avoid driving and that... basically, they're going to have to find alternative routes to get there. Tell me what that means and what that's going to – we're just using everything we can. Let me quote him directly to make sure that the public is safe. And he added that people are going to have to look at a different way of getting there rather than driving. So talk about that, if you will.
I mean, that's pretty much what I'm referring to. You know, Royal Street is going to be closed off, essentially, between Bienville and, Toulouse. So, or maybe St. Louis. I have to check on it. But the essentially that kind of grid of Bourbon Street, particularly at night, but during the daytime, during the festival hours, you know, Bourbon Royal and Decatur is going to be, you know, really difficult to pass by vehicle, probably impossible because of the barricades we're using. Mm-hmm. So what he was recommending was that people use, they go down further down to St. Peter's going to be their first avenue to be able to get, you know, across, I guess, from the river towards the lake in the French Quarter.
Are there any shuttle buses running for this event at all?
They don't run shuttle buses. We obviously, with all of these, we encourage people to park outside the quarter wherever they can, whether it be in the CBD or, you know, up along Rampart or further, and then either walk in. If you have the opportunity to use RTA, the streetcar, the buses, a bicycle, walking, anything alternative as far as or rideshare, I should add, as well. Is going to be a much easier experience than trying to drive down there in the hakes that you're going to experience with that.
And even with the rideshare, they can't drive either, so you might have a little bit of a walk. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back with Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security Emergency Preparedness for New Orleans, talking about the French Quarter Fest. You got any questions? 504-260-1870, and I'll pass them along when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. At 8:57, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security Emergency Preparedness for the City of New Orleans, our friend. Colin, so if you, I'm looking at the map, if you could give me a corridor and outline the streets where no vehicle traffic will be allowed, it would be what?
If you're looking at that map, you'll see those red hash marks. Anywhere those are is going to be closed off during the festival hours.
Yeah, I'm not looking at that map. So you're talking about Canal to what? Or are you talking about
essentially Iberville to Dumaine and Decatur to Bourbon is going to be very difficult to get through during the day because of the smaller stages, particularly on Royal Street.
And even without that, the French Quarter Fest, I haven't been in a couple of years, but when I went, it was extremely crowded, and I know it's grown since
then.
It's
huge. Yeah, I mean, you're talking almost a million people over 4 days. And then we do a traffic, on and off traffic closure on Decatur, which really now during the day is just a closure. It used to be years ago we would be able to open up and let traffic through between acts, but now there's so many people down there that that traffic chute, which is at North Peters and Canal, is just closed essentially from when the gates open at 10 until 7 p.m. when they strike the last act for the
evening. So it would seem to me parking, driving in a quarter is going to be crazy. So maybe stay to the other side of Canal Street, catch the ferry from the West Bank if you can, and walk. Those would be better alternatives?
Yeah, RTA is going to have extra buses, and both ferries will be out. So, you know, I think that that's an excellent alternative, or coming in from the Esplanade side of the quarter as well.
And there will be police presence to watch areas, not just at the French Quarter, but people that are trying to access the festival and leave, right?
Correct. Federal law enforcement, Coast Guard, they'll all be down along the riverfront, as well as about 200 NOPD. They'll be wearing a new festival uniform. It's going to be basically polo shirts and shorts, which is something that the mayor was and the police chief really wanted to address some of the morale issues of wearing.
All right. Thank you, Colin.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.